and the all-sufficiency of his word. Herein lies the power for Christ-centered service, God and his word, the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. Acts 20, 32. Book of the Acts, chapter 20, 32. It says, and now, brethren, as Paul was leaving the dear saints at Ephesus, he had called together the elders, and this was one of his farewell desires, commendations. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, number one, and to the word of his grace, number two, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. God is all sufficient for all of us, all of the time, eternally. And whatever he leads us and guides us to do, his all sufficiency is always available. And it is all sufficient for the task. I can depend on him, and I should have confidence in him. And this would lead me to communion with him, fellowship with him, through prayer and praise. I commend you to God. Beloved, we have an all-sufficient God who has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Not that he is helping, but that he is a helper in character, in kind, in reality. One who will never leave or forsake, who is always there as the helper. So whatever needs to be done, he is the helper. He is the guarantee that it can be done. I commend you to God. He is there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We may boldly, with courage, say, the Lord is my helper. It's very personal. All of us can say it, but each one of us must say it individually. So I quote the verse again, a little piece. We may boldly say, all of us can say it, but when we speak, we have to speak personally. The Lord is not our helper. Beloved, that's not the point. The point is, each one of us individually must understand that God is all sufficient for me, and that the work he wants me to do, he's all sufficient to see me through and to see divine success in that work. But not only he says, I commend it to God, but he also says, unto the word of his grace. And that word of his grace has as its subject Christ in all sufficiency, in his worthiness. What is worthy of Christ? No wonder the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3, 15, 16, he says in the last part, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That's point number two in Brother Jeff's message. That the man of God might be perfect, mature, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Beloved, all that we need for all of our service is found again in the word of his grace. This is where the power comes from, beloved. From God and from his word. If we forget God, we become like a Samson who wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Though his gifts were there, he still looked, I assumed, massive, but he had lost the presence of God. We cannot lose the presence of God literally, but we can lose the fellowship of that presence. And as to the word of God, we have so many wonderful examples. Jonathan gained a great victory through just a little honey. Beloved, as we study the word of God, let's suck the honey. Like those of us Caribbean persons who love the sugar cane, as we peel it, as we suck it, you know, in my youth, we would suck it and suck it and suck it till nothing else seemed to be able to come from it except our saliva. Till it's bone dry. But we can never do this with the word of God. It is inexhaustible. But it must be sweet. When I read the word, if I'm not seeing the honey and the honeycomb, something is wrong. And I'm not going to get the strength I need. Or like an Elijah, who would run from a Jezebel and would be so tired he would sleep, and God would put a cruse of water and some cakes and says, "Arise and eat. The journey is too great for thee." He would sleep again, and again the angel wakes him and feeds him personally. "Rise, eat. The journey is too great for thee." And then he would go in the strength of it for 40 days and 40 nights. Beloved, if we are feeding on the word of God, we will have power for the service of God. All we need is God himself and his word. The Lord Jesus is the perfect example as he was in the wilderness. 40 days fasting. But those 40 days were feasting. He was feasting in fellowship with God and upon the word of God. And his heart was so full of that word, out of the abundance of the word, the mouth speaks. And as the enemy came to him, he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." That's service, beloved. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And how he won the victory through the word. But in concluding, I'd like us to also focus on the reality of this enjoyment of God and his work, and in following through with that work, in my heart, with that will in my life, because the work is really God's work. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so as we think of the power, we need to recognize that God wants to work. God wants to help. He is the helper. He wants to empower us. I can do all things how? Through Christ who strengthens us. And so he invites us to take his yoke upon us. It's the yoke of submission. But it's also a yoke of support. It's a yoke of service. It's a yoke of selflessness. It's a yoke of sacrifice. But I also think of this yoke in relation to not just Christ, and that's how it should be initially, just me and Christ. A yoke normally carries only two animals. For us, it's two persons, me and the Lord Jesus. But I want to indicate that like Elisha, he had 12 yoke of oxen. I don't know how a man could control so many. He was ahead of his time in efficiency. You know, I don't know if the ground was so rocky and so hard. Indeed, a 12 yoke. That's a huge amount of power. A young man plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. You know what it meant? He would do a lot of work and with as much ease as possible. And I want to suggest in this that we see each other as true yoke fellows. Fellowship with each other helps in the power for the work. Because if the Lord is empowering you, he's empowering me, we can be yoked together as true yoke fellows. With the same cause, for the same God who is worthy of our faithfulness. May the Lord help us to pick up these thoughts. Open them up. As we commend each other to God and His Word for His service power, for Christ-centered service. And like the Thessalonians, we have been saved to serve. Turn to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven. May God add a blessing to the introduction for His name's sake. Isaiah 40:28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is worthy, there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This is a wonderful promise. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Just some principles in setting forward this whole thought of depending on the Lord for the power of Christ-centered ministry.
Speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Let us go to Judges chapter 6, about Gideon. Judges chapter 6, we are thinking about the power of God and also the all-sufficiency. There we find an example. God appeared
in the angel of the Lord to Gideon. And in verse 14 he says, go in this thy might. So you could get an impression that, you know, you have to do it in your own strength. Go in thy might. And then he emphasized, who is the sender? Have not I sent you? And what he also said to him, this is now his promise of being with him, his presence in verse 16, surely I will be with thee. The all sufficiency of God is actually going with Gideon into the battle. And we find that in the later thing, God had to say, you have too many. You have too many. So you look again in your own strength, how can you achieve and do the job God has given you? And God says, now don't look at your own means. Look at me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to use you, but I am going to do you so that at the end, nobody can say, I have done the job. The glory belongs to God and to him only. And this is what he said in chapter 7. In chapter 7 when he said, you are too many. That that mine own hand has saved me. That, you know, you have the impression you have done a great job. No, it is God, his power, which enabled you to do the job.
In Zechariah 4 and verse 6, we have these words. And he answered and said unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The work of God can only be done by God himself. And he has given to us the enablement, the ability to carry on the work. There's a little song that I usually sing, strength for the labor the Lord will provide. And he is the one that we have to depend on, his spirit and his word. That was exactly, or something to that effect, he said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. So that the power is of God, and the spirit is that person who bring the enablement for the instrument in God's hand to be used in this way. We, by extension, just to say that in Nehemiah told the people to go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So as we rejoice in the Lord, we gain strength to serve him.
Brother Harvey, there's a mic here.
I would like to say that the verses that were read out of Isaiah gives us, first of all, a glimpse of the Lord, of God, as the one who provides the strength. And it takes up the character of God as something that we ought to know. in verse 28 of 40, chapter 40 of Isaiah, it says, "Hast thou not known?" The challenge, therefore, brethren, to us is that we need to know that the kind of person that God is. Hast thou not known? Well, if you haven't known, have you not heard? The word of God is there. Hearing comes by the word of God. So if you don't know who he is, the kind of person he is, well, have you not heard? The sound have gone forth, says the 19th Psalm, into all the earth. So, and then he describes who God is, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Then he tells you the kind of character he has. He does not faint. I noticed some of us coming up the stairs. Man, we know what fainting is all about. But he does not faint. He doesn't have to use the front stairs, if you would allow me to make such a crude example. He does not faint. Neither is weary. And then in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. Thank God for that. This is the person to whom we have to turn. And this is the person whom we have to know. And he tells us, he gives. And I love the tense of the verse, not give, but gives. So every time we need strength, that's the one to prepare to, because we have learned who he is in verse 28. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. You see, as far as they're concerned, I have no might. But he increaseth. Not he giveth, he increaseth strength. There is strength there, and he increaseth it. Then he tells us what we do know. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. In other words, with man there is increasing weakness. With man there is increasing weakness, but with God, he has strength. And those who wait on him increase of strength. With man on the relying on themselves, there's increasing weakness. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There is increasing strength as the years increase. And then he tells us in verse 10 of chapter 41, fear not. Why? I am with thee. You have my presence, so do not fear. Be not dismayed. Why? I am thy God. And then he lays out what he is doing. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yeah, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's meditate on the kind of person that we're talking about here. Yes, it's not by might, nor by strength, but by his power. But let us get a hold of the person. He is the everlasting God. He is the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, one who does not faint nor ever becomes weary. We know what is in man. The youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait, not upon his strength, but upon him, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Therefore, chapter 41 and 10 tells us, do not fear. I am with thee. I am thy God. And these are the things that I am doing. I am going to do. And it's for us to lay hold on the fact of who he is and that he is with us.
I do believe that the point that we had earlier is extremely important. The power for Christ-centered service, for Christ-centered living. And our brother just mentioned that yes, it is important that we know who the power comes from. But then in John chapter 16, I believe that what we have there brings both things together. In verse 12, the Lord says to his own, I have yet many things to say unto you, but he cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself or from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. I believe that the work of the Spirit of God is to bring Christ to the believers. And the verse that was read from Zechariah, you know, it is so powerful because there are those who, in their own energy, with their own device, have been doing many things, but the power of the Spirit of God is not behind it. And if we are going to be successful in displaying this kind of life, to live this kind of Christ-centered life, and to serve him in that manner, we must depend on the Spirit of God. It is not just a New Testament concept, because we have in the book of Nehemiah as well, chapter 9 and verse 20, Nehemiah spoke to the people. In verse 20 says, "Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst." Thy good spirit, I believe it's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And therefore, to be instructed as to how we should live and how we can have this Christ-centered service going and our lives behind it on the Spirit of God.
In Isaiah, and it has been expanded really to us in verse 29. He increases strength, and in verse 28. He is neither weary, he does not faint, there is no searching of his understanding. We have no strength, but it is his strength that we work on, that we go on. And I think that brings out to us, therefore, that if we really would like to serve him, if we should exhibit the Christ-centered service, then we have to come to that realization. And we have to practically, as it were, give over to him that which we consider is our strength. Because we have no strength, but we do think that we have strength. And we need to reach to that point. I was thinking of Romans chapter 12, where it takes an action from me. I'm not going to absorb everything. I'm not going to absorb it like a sponge. But there is responsibility on me that I need to do what the scripture says, what the word of God is speaking, is saying to me. And so in Romans chapter 12, it says that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, we think that in our bodies we are strong. We have a lot of, we can do a lot of things. But we must come to that point where we have no strength, and therefore we are willing to yield up all to the Lord. Because if we are not, then we begin to depend on ourselves, and each time as we begin to depend on ourselves, then it is no longer a Christ-centered service. We have to yield our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is an acceptable service to God, Sorry, let me just read it rather than paraphrasing it. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in this we find that once we are willing to yield up to Him, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, then we are available to experience that He has given to us of His strength. Because God is a perfect giver. And all that we have been discussing, He has given to us. But we have to be in the condition to receive, to experience what He has given us. And many times we do not enjoy the strength that He has given to us. We do not enjoy the joy of the Lord. It is because we have taken over and we have decided that we have a little strength so we can do. And beloved, I would commend us that we would really, each of us would have to search ourselves, because this is not something that anybody can do for me or for you. And we cannot just say, well, I'm okay, I've given up all already. It has to be a daily and conscious thing that we are surrendered to Him, and each day there is the recognition that I have no strength. It is all my strength is of Him.
I'm thinking of a good king anointed by God in his youth, King Uzziah, in 2 Chronicles 26. In verse 1, now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king. Verse 5. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Verse 15. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. That this man, as a youth, followed the direction of God, walked in the ways of God, and he did well. The Spirit of God underscored the source of his success. He was marvelously helped by God until he became strong. It's God who helped him. But when he became strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And somewhere along the way, that good king forgot the source of his power. He was anointed as king. He thought he could function as a priest. He missed the point. He missed the focus of God's anointing. And it turned out to his own destruction. In our colloquial terms, could he have become too big for himself? Could he have thought too highly of himself? Is there not a caution for me today? Being helped by God, we desire strength. It's not by physical energy, it's by the Spirit. There is strength for service, strength to do things for God. But Uzziah stands as a warning. When he became strong, his heart was lifted up. May the Lord help me and help us.
I'd like to bring another Old Testament example to us. Brother Sam referred to it, 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Verse 3. And when he saw that he arose and went, and when he saw that he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself was a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. We know the story very well. Great victory was wrought by this man of God. 400 prophets of the grove of Baal were slaughtered. A woman sent a message to this great man of God, and he became so discouraged that he wished that he would die. And what this shows to us, brethren, is the weakness of our flesh in every one of us, and how we ought to be so careful. Great victory. So even today we might have a great victory, and it comes back to the matter of the all-sufficiency of our blessed Lord Jesus. We got to look for grace on a daily basis. Great victory. And yet this man of God was running for his life from a woman. And I want to turn to Luke chapter 9 and just read a verse. The Lord Jesus, when he was down here, Luke 9, he admonished and cautioned his disciples. Verse 23. And it shows how we ought to depend on the Lord on a daily basis. You know, brethren, the flesh within us, you know, sometimes when it's going good and we're on the mountain top, there's where we think we have strength, as was said before. But it doesn't work like that. That is the time that the devil is working hard, and he knows very well how he can discourage us, just like Elijah. He had reached the point where he wished for himself that he would die, even after the Lord had used him so mightily. And the Lord told his disciples in verse 23 in Luke 9, he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Brethren, our life of Christ-centered service is a life of self-denial. And it's a life of suffering. Take up his cross. And it's a life of following. We wish to God and we pray that we'd always keep these thoughts before us.
In Isaiah 40 verse 31, it's telling us that it's only as we wait upon God, the Spirit, that our strength can be renewed. I understand that even the eagle, it is used here, the eagle wait for the wind and then soared with it to the height to which it desired to go. In that case, the eagle need not make much efforts or any efforts of its own, but the wind carried it along to its desired height. We must not be like the horse. The horse like to run ahead. Nor like the mule. The mule like to catch. But you can't move him once he catch. So we must not run ahead of God like the horse. And we must not lag behind like the mule. We must be pliable by the Spirit to be carried along according to his own persuading.
Brethren, we don't have much time. We should wrap up the latest at 11 o'clock. And there are some brothers here who haven't expressed themselves. We'd love to invite you. We'd love to share some things because this subject is very vital. Oftentimes, we look at the servant of God who seemingly is pressing on and accomplishing a lot, and we pray for that individual, we thank the Lord for that individual, but there is a great danger of looking at other servants who are struggling, who may not seemingly be accomplishing much, who might be like an Elijah, discouraged, disturbed, and daunted by all circumstances and the tasks ahead of them. And we can be sometimes unkind in our criticism about these individuals, perhaps even say they're wasting time. But we need, beloved, in these last moments, if possible, to say a word for discouraged and feeble and limited individuals where the work that they're doing seems to be small. But I find the answer of Acts 20:32 has a wonderful answer in these verses in Isaiah 40. There is a word for those who are struggling. In verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. This is the work of his grace, beloved. And I love us to say a little of this. God in his all sufficiency is not just for the brothers and sisters who are out there, and we can see the waves that they are making for God through the power of the Spirit of God. But for those servants who may look more feeble and more limited and are struggling and their labors seem to be very insignificant, the results and the fruit may not be flamboyant, but I think we need a word for them as well, beloved. Can we have a word of encouragement for the dear brothers? Look, the Caribbean is not flourishing everywhere. It's not fullness and greatness everywhere. There are struggles, and servants need to be encouraged that the God who is all sufficient has an answer even in the midst of these struggles. Can we have a word, please, these last 10 minutes for the encouragement of limited service in the Caribbean, not just the flourishing ones?
Well, if I may just share briefly along that line, and it's in two areas that need to be strong in these last days. And just to pull out a portion from the book of Isaiah, firstly chapter 35, and then we look at the Gospel of Luke. Summarize just saying in verse 3, Isaiah 35, it says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees." And the hands in scripture speak of service, as we are aware, and the knees associated with the walk. And these are the two areas that, whether it's discouragement, whether it's attack of the enemy, whether it's lack of food, at times become weak. And we can say that this is what we are seeing here in these last and closing days. And the word that was given in chapter 40, it is where you find that the renewing of this comes by waiting on the Lord. And one of the very difficult things to do is to wait, because you're preaching, you don't see no fruit. You're doing all of these activities, you're not seeing anything that is occurring, and sometimes that discouragement settles in. And the servant is told to strengthen ye. It is here to the Jewish nation, but I'm just applying it. But where can we look for an example of one who was completely dependent, one who knew what it was to wait on God's time, one who knew what it was to rely on the energy of the Spirit of God and the fuel of the Word of God? Luke's Gospel, I'll just stay in chapter 4, but we could go, because the word power is mentioned a few times in the opening chapters. Luke chapter 4 from verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness." Verse 4, and we have the temptation of the enemy, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he ate nothing. When they were ended, he afterwards was hungry. Verse 4, what is speak? It is written, the word of God. Verse 8, it is written, the word of God. Verse 11, it is written, the word of God. And it says there in verse 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region." Verse 17, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And we know the account very well. But notice the working out of that in verse 32. "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Verse 36. "And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and great power he commanded the unclean spirit." And later on it says, "And when they brought those sick folk to him, there was power to heal him." What was the source of this power? It was his energy, which we saw in complete dependence upon the Spirit of God. Again, not by might, not by spirit, but my spirit. Also his dependence upon his Father, and the energy and the fuel that he got from the Word of God. And these are the things that we must lay hold upon if we are to confirm those feeble knees and strengthen the weak hands.
I would like, brothers, just a quick thought on as picking up on what Brother Sam was just getting to about word of encouragement for the laborers that sometimes may feel their work seems to go unnoticed or without reward. If we can turn to chapter 15 of Genesis, this is a chapter that speaks to my heart on a regular basis. It's where I stand daily through the work of the Lord. And particularly the first verse brings to mind the topic that we have before us. As the scripture reads, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." See, brothers and sisters, as we just discussed, only God can carry out God's word. But then he also promises that only he will protect us. He is our shield. And then again, brothers, he will be that reward of the work. The work itself is not the reward. The reward is God himself. And with that in mind, every glass of water, every word spoken, every deed, every humble thought, every work carried out by us in the Caribbean, everything that we do, the workers serving in the kitchen, their great reward is the Lord himself. So with that in mind, as Abraham in that chapter, we see him trust the Lord and is counted for righteousness in verse 6. But in verse 9, we see his weakness when he thinks, how will this happen? How will I inherit? How will I get descendants? He has a word of doubt, and God himself then makes a covenant with him. He asks for the pieces of the animals to be cut down. We see them laid down across. And in Jeremiah chapter 34, we see the reason of this. We see as in our land now today, we do covenants or contracts through written word. We see that in that age, they have to act it out. And so when a king conquered a land, and we see in Jeremiah 34 that the pact between those two lands of peace was acted out according to what God does here with Abraham when he asked him to bring those pieces and cut them up and put them. And when the kings conquered the lands, one king would pass through the pieces and the other king of the other land would pass through the pieces. Therefore, signing that pact or that treaty or that arrangement. And so the king was saying in acting out, saying, as I pass through these pieces cut before us, if I am unfaithful to the pact, if I break that pact, may my flesh be cut in half. May my blood be spilled. And so that's what happened, and that's how they signed agreements, as we see today. But we see that in that same chapter, verse 17, a darkness came, and the smoke of the Lord, it was the presence of the Lord, passes through those pieces. When Abraham had the doubt, when Abraham said, "How will I know?" he says, "The Lord, bring me this, put it in front. Cut the animals open." And as then in verse 17, the Lord passes through the pieces. And notice something important. Just the Lord passes through the pieces, not Abraham. In that time, both needed to be in agreement. The treaty needed to be signed by both. But in this case, just the Lord passes through them. So the Lord is saying to Abraham, and as I understand it, the doubt that came through Abraham was not the doubt on the Lord. For in verse 6, he said, he trusted the Lord, and it was counted for righteousness. So the doubt of Abraham was probably on himself. He doubted on him, how will I know that I can be that nation that you are calling me to be? How can I be the father of the people you are calling me to be? And the Lord says, don't worry, Abraham. This covenant, I sign myself. This covenant, so if we break, if I break my word, may my body be broken. May my blood be shed. But Abraham, if you break the covenant, again, I only signed it myself. So may, if you break it, Abraham, may my blood be spread. May my body be cut in half. And years later, we see on the cross of Christ that our Lord shed the blood, that our Lord's body was cut. So the Lord is our reward. It's not upon our strength, it's upon His. He is the worker, He is the shield, and He is the reward.
Indeed. I know the time, based on what was mentioned, may I be gone? I'd just like to mention, you know, we live in a day and age that everything is increasingly becoming instant. Instant messaging, instant heated food. Everything is fast, and it makes it much more difficult for patients to be exercised in a number of ways. But I believe farmers will explain to many of us, you know, what it is like to be patient, because they really have not much of a choice. And we have a very familiar scripture which I would just like to bring before us very quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5-8. I'll just read very quickly. It says, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, each as the Lord gave opportunity to each other, or each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. No, he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. There are times, brethren, that we will become very discouraged because we do not see results, perhaps in a few weeks, a few months, maybe even a few years. But let us understand our role in the whole process. Are we the one planting? Are we the one watering? Is it that the Lord would have us to be doing both? It's important for us to understand what it is that God expects of us in this whole, you know, service. And understand that a plant does not necessarily grow overnight. We see that happen, yes, with Jonah. But it's not something that is normal. So let us depend totally on the Lord for, you know, that understanding of patience. We see in Psalm, you know, it's repeated quite a bit, you know, to wait. And we have that here in Isaiah as well, to wait. You know, and it's really important for us to really reflect on this thought.
We must bring this session to a close, and just love to encourage us to lean unswervingly upon the all-sufficiency of God Himself. Others may not support us, but let us rely also on the all-sufficiency of His Word through the Spirit. And leave the results to the Lord.
Could I just offer one verse to encourage those who may seem feeble? And I would just like us to consider 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So we need to be encouraged that even though we may be feeble, we are still necessary. And also, if we do not carry out the function that the Lord has laid upon our hearts, the entire body will be lacking for it. So don't mind, we might think we are feeble. Let's continue to press on with what the Lord has laid upon our heart.